Hello, I'm Chip Coldren. I serve as the Managing Director for Justice Programs at CNA in the Institute for Public Research, and I'm the Project Director for the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body-Worn Camera Training and Technical Assistance Program. Today I'm speaking with Chief Inspector Michael Cochran from the Philadelphia Police Department and Dr. Elizabeth Groff, a professor at Temple University, about the department's recent body-worn camera pilot program and the research on the program conducted by Temple University. Also joining us are Sergeant Jay Bowen, who works with the Police Department's Office of Forensic Science and Digital Media Evidence, Mike Vidrow, Public Safety Program Manager from the Office of Innovation and Technology, and Jennifer Woods, also from Temple University. Thanks to all of you for speaking with me today. To start, Chief Inspector Cochran, can you give our listeners an overview of why you decided to work with a research partner on this project?
Well, there were a number of reasons. The most important was it added legitimacy to the evaluation process on our body-worn cameras. And, of course, Temple was a nonpartisan evaluation. They conducted a nonpartisan evaluation. And I'd also like to mention, before I go any further, is we work close with Temple. We've worked closely in the past with them. They were integral with this body-worn camera, both professors. They did an excellent job, and it's still an ongoing process. And we also have a number of other projects going on with Temple at this time. So it was easy to reach out to them, and it was important. They added their research skills and, again, the neutrality in tracking and reporting the research that they developed. They were integral in developing the surveys for us, and they also conducted these surveys and tracked the research for us, reporting back to us. We believe in transparency, and certainly working with Temple, it was a transparent operation between the both of us. There's accountability, and, of course, adding Temple to our team added professionalism to the goal of bringing body-worn cameras to the Philadelphia Police Department. Their research added, it looked at the goals of using the body-worn cameras in the police department. They looked at technical usability. They looked at body-worn cameras being worn in different situations and operated in different situations. And, of course, they reported on the risks and benefits and considering continuing with the body-worn camera program. So it was important that we had another party assisting us. So we just didn't develop this program ourselves and come up with our own stats. It was an independent review, and I believe the police officers are probably be more honest and forthcoming to the individuals at Temple. And also where this camera program took place in our 22nd Police District, Temple University sits dead in the middle of this district, so I believe they'd be more comfortable reporting their use of the body-worn cameras to an independent group than they would to myself or upper management.
Good. Thanks very much. That's a very thorough answer. Liz, let me ask this question of you. Can you just talk briefly about from your perspective, the key questions that the pilot study was trying to answer?
Actually, Jen's going to take that one.
That's fine. Go ahead, Jen.
We had several aims. The first aim was to determine whether officers' preconceptions of the effects of the cameras on the nature of their police work on a day-to-day basis would change over time, over the course of wearing the cameras and getting used to them. We were also interested in whether officers who didn't volunteer altered their views as well, simply by virtue of being around officers who were volunteering to wear the cameras. Undoubtedly, informal discussions among 22nd District officers happened, and they discussed amongst themselves the perceived downsides and benefits as the pilot program unfolded, so we were quite interested to see if there was any type of sort of broader change in attitudes both among the camera-wearing officers and the non-camera-wearing officers. We were also interested in exploring whether public complaints increased, decreased, or stayed the same over the course of the pilot study when you compared the officers wearing the cameras versus those who did not. We also examined use of force incidents, and we also examined whether there are any fluctuations in types of officers' activity levels, including arrests, pedestrian stops, and other official activity. So we really examined attitudinal measures as well as any potential changes in the daily activities of officers. We also had an additional prong, which was particularly important to the police department, was to examine usability issues, the various technical aspects of wearing the cameras, bringing them back to the office at the end of the day, and downloading them, and really learning from officers what design features mattered to them, what types of camera models were comfortable to them, what features relating to video quality or to size or to durability, what mattered to them in different types of policing situations, including just everyday patrol, but also in more rare circumstances such as police chases. So we had a wide range of outcomes, and of course what was most important to the police department was really understanding what cameras worked the best for the officers so that they could begin a gradual rollout across the city.
Okay. Can you or Dr. Groff talk a little bit about the data collection that you did and the types of research methods you used in the study?
Yes, sorry. Yes, we use several different measurement devices, both qualitative and quantitative. We had focus groups with officers both before the cameras were deployed and at the end of the pilot period. We had three different survey instruments that we used. The first was a pre-post survey of officer perceptions of and attitudes toward body-worn cameras. The second was a daily survey that officers who are wearing body-worn cameras filled out about their experiences on the street with the cameras. And then we had a survey that was used to gather officer feedback regarding all the different camera models that they tested out. And then, of course, we had the quantitative assessment of the effect of wearing cameras on the number of citizen complaints and use of force incidents, using matching methodology, and that's still ongoing.
Okay, good. Thank you. And exactly how many cameras were involved in this pilot? And I think we heard about the area of the city they were deployed in, but maybe a few more details about that.
I can take that one. This is Mike Vidro speaking. Initially, we started with, I believe it was 12 different manufacturers, about 13 models. Before we actually kicked the pilot off, we scaled it back to a total at the beginning of 35 cameras, 7 different models from 6 different manufacturers. And a large part of that was based on the number of volunteers that we got for the pilot, the officer volunteers.
Thanks. And so did the pilot help you narrow down the field of, you know, candidate manufacturers?
Yes, it did. I believe it did. I mean, part of my task in the during the pilot was to figure out the technical pieces of it, the offloading, the downloading, the network infrastructure, and how all that data was going to look like on a daily basis, and try to calculate for, you know, for force-wide during the pilot. We started off with a group of cameras that we knew were going to, in different ways, fit our model as far as our infrastructure went. So toward the end of the pilot there, it really came down to the officer's preference in the cameras, and that's where we really started seeing drop-off in the cameras. Initially, in the beginning of the pilot, there was obviously technical issues with the cameras. Some of these cameras were pretty cheaply built. They were just not working with the normal ergonomics of you know, police work. So those were obviously dropped, and it obviously also reflected in the surveys the officers did. So they were kind of easy to kind of roll them back down by the other pilot to one or two models.
Yeah. So did the outcome of this study influence the department's decision to purchase more cameras? Because I know there's a several hundred more cameras coming online. I'm just wondering about what some of the findings were and how they contributed to your decision to go forward with cameras.
You want me to take that one?
I can answer that, Mike.
Okay.
This is, again, Mike Cochran back. First of all, I want to – the one thing that we were all proud of, and we had told the officers that were part of this volunteer group that whatever camera they chose at the end of this pilot program, we would make every effort to utilize that we would purchase. And, in fact, at the end of the pilot program, they actually requested a two-month extension on the pilot program because they were down to just two cameras. And without hesitation, we granted that request. And, again, after a further review, they did the camera that they wanted is the actual one that the city, through the effort of Mike Vitro, we actually are going to purchase initially for this program.
Mm-hmm.
But the end result of this pilot program, there was a lot of success stories in it. One, it was hard to gauge the use of force and complaints against police because it wasn't a lot of officers using that to get those statistics. But I can tell you that there were a number of complaints that were made before they were officially complaints that went to our Internal Affairs Bureau. They were individuals that came into the 22nd Police District. After reviewing the footage with the captain, some just literally turned around and walked away, and others actually apologized for their conduct. So that being said, we know going forward, plus all the studies across the country on the use of body-worn cameras shows the reduce in complaint and the use of force, which is important to us. Another important issue was the working with the district attorney's office. At some point we're going to have, 4,000 cameras in place in the next several years. It's going to put, a great effort on the DA's office, in prosecution of all these cases. So we worked closely with them. They were in on it. So the relationship worked out. We had a number of successful prosecutions because of these cameras. It was important also to mention there's several patrol districts that border the 22nd Police District. Officers were calling. They were calling down here. They were also asking officers in the 22nd District wearing the cameras, when is this body-worn camera going to proceed? Because they want progress, because they wanted to wear the cameras. That was the interest, the great interest that they had in it. So, I could go on, but without a doubt, this pilot program, worked to the point where, we are proceeding. We're proceeding, slowly because, again, we're looking at a department with, at some point, we'll have 4,000 cameras. So we don't want to rush into this. But the pilot program worked out great, and we're going to proceed to go from there. First, we're going to have all the officers in the 22nd District, including their supervisors, equipped with the cameras. Then we're just going to sit back, for lack of a better word, and see how that works out, both with our technology and things like that. So absolutely, this pilot, and I can tell you any department going to body cameras, whether it's a large department like us or a small county department, should absolutely have a pilot program. It's a necessity.
Yep. Thank you. And as the camera program goes forward, I'm assuming that you'll continue to work with Temple on an evaluation process. And so can someone talk about that a little bit, about how that's going to look going forward?
This is Sergeant Jay Bowen. Basically, I just wanted to, if I could, answer that question.
Please.
Temple University right now, they're, in my opinion, that was the low-hanging fruit when we got into this. This program with this pilot and working with Temple. And just to reiterate what everybody was, saying earlier with the chief and Mike, and, by having that transparency and by having this university conduct a study, as a supervisor, I'm more of a frontline supervisor, you do see the officers tend to answer the questions or the surveys when it's dealing directly with the research survey. I was not privy to see the surveys. It wasn't something that I got and graded or I received back. It was something that they directly answered questions to Liz and her team. And by doing so, it really opened up the door for the officers to really buy into it. And by buying into it, we actually made them the stakeholders in this. You know, oftentimes you'll see new products and technology purchased and pushed out there, you know. And often individuals that are boots-on-the-ground officers sometimes don't have an opportunity like this. So by getting them more involved from the beginning, from the ground up, we made them stakeholders. And we wouldn't have been able to do that without, a third-party researcher group like Temple. And I would recommend this not only, like the chief said, I would recommend a pilot program, but I would also recommend that if you are a department doing a pilot program, to take on a nonpartisan group like Temple or a similar university to conduct these surveys, to conduct these studies. And I feel that the outcomes that you'll get are going to, you know, far exceed your expectations. And definitely, I mean, from what I've seen it grow, I've been with the program for a little over a year, from the beginning to the end, and like Mr. Vidro was saying, yeah, sure, you know, the logistics and the technology sometimes in the beginning is a little hairy and there's some different glitches that you have to take care of. But as you continue to grow with the research and you get the feedback from the researchers and from the officers, I think you do end up seeing a more effective, definitely a more efficient program that allows you to expand to 4,000 cameras from only a few dozen. So, I mean, as far as my concern is, seeing it, talking with the officers, talking with the researchers and upper command management, I definitely see a benefit with dealing with this this third-party research group.
Yeah. Thank you. That's an excellent point. So my last question actually gets us back to the first question I asked, and I honestly believe that each of you has touched on this already, so I might change the question around a little bit. But the question is, would you recommend other agencies partner with a research partner? And if so, why? So if somebody from the department or somebody from Temple would like to comment on that, I'd like to hear that. But I want to add maybe a question for Temple University on what has been the benefit to Temple to being engaged with the Philadelphia Police Department? We've heard a lot about how the police department and the program is benefiting from your involvement, but I might turn that question around. But I want to ask first if anybody has anything they want to add about the value of working with a research partner in this kind of a project.
I'll go first, Mike Cochran. I'll just use the word absolutely. You should absolutely reach out to a university or, you know, again, and I don't want to go through everything I did in the opening, but just the transparency, their skill sets, and this is what they do. And, yeah. You know, if they'd have come back to us and said, you know, these cameras don't work, we got these opinions and that opinion, it's invaluable because, you know, you don't want to just rush a program like this with the officers because let's be honest, it's a costly program. And working with Temple, and I'm going to be honest with you, from my point, I came on a few months late. I wasn't at the initial rollout. You know, they were great. I consider them friends now. It worked. It truly worked reaching out to Temple. And there was different, you know, cogs in the wheel that made this whole program work. Mike Vidro with OIT, Jay Bowen did a ton of legwork and technical work, and the professors, the work they did. And if you put all those cogs in, it made the wheel turn very easily. So I think a department, especially again, and I'll say a department the size of us, where you're rolling out close to 4,000 cameras, you have to go this route. You truly do.
Thanks, Inspector. Liz and Jennifer, how would you describe the benefits to the university for this kind of a partnership?
I can take that one if you'd like. This is Jennifer. I think that, you know, for our job as researchers, there's nothing more fruitful than a collaborative relationship like this. We see this partnership as really reflective of a new paradigm of research where researchers and police are equal partners. Our partners on the phone, our partners on this podcast, they bring knowledge and expertise that we do not have. They raise interesting questions that we never would have thought of. The insights that we learn from officers on the streets, from upper management, from everyone that was involved in this pilot has really expanded our horizons and allowed us to see the implications of body-worn cameras on police work, you know, really in a new light. And so this has been as beneficial to us, I think, as it has to our partner. So I think we wouldn't have been able to produce the body of knowledge that we did without doing this together as equal partners, and we would encourage it in other jurisdictions.
Well said. Dr. Groff, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think, not really. I mean, Jen hit all the major points. I guess just to reiterate, the PPD came with a lot of technical questions, a lot of policy questions, a lot of back-end questions, meaning, how do we transfer the video footage to prosecutors, to defense attorneys, to our detectives? I mean, there's just a lot of moving parts when you think about body-worn cameras. You know, what should the policy for officers to use cameras, what should that look like? They came with all of those really interesting questions that, as a researcher, we didn't really think about. We were more focused on, well, how is this going to change the job of a police officer on the street? And so I felt like by the end, we had the whole picture. So we each brought our own strengths to the table, which Jen said much more eloquently.
Good. Thank you very much. Chief Inspector Cochran and Dr. Groff, thank you. Jay, Mike, and Jennifer, thank you as well. We're grateful you could speak with us today and share your knowledge on this important topic. We encourage law enforcement, justice, and public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the body-worn camera toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with adoption and use of community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all of these resources, and especially the body-worn camera toolkit, have been designed as a national resource. It is your resource. Please submit your ideas for new content on the website through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Chip Coldren of CNA's body-worn camera team signing off. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today.